My name is Mike Morgan.
The title of our message is A Burglarized Religion. Our text, Judges chapter 18, verses 18 through 20.
Have you ever had anything stolen from you? When attending preaching school, we parked the Jeep right beside the church building. One morning, the Jeep was gone. Some people have loved ones or physical abilities stolen through calamity or the wickedness of men. Infinitely worse than being robbed of earthly possessions is to have our religion stolen. But wait a minute. Religion is a personal thing. Our beliefs and convictions are deep inside of us. How can someone take that from you? This morning we will learn some lessons from Micah, who had his religion stolen. In order to appreciate Judges chapter 18, we have to back up to chapter 17. There was a mother who had 1,100 pieces of silver that were stolen. She informed her son that she's going to put a curse on whoever stole the money. His conscience got the best of him. He confessed his sin and returned the money to his mother. His mother said, "I had wholly dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son to make a carved image and a molded image." She wanted to take the money and make some images as a means of worshiping God. Instead of using all 1,100 pieces of silver, she only used 200, which shows her possible interest in the money. She gave the money to the silversmith, and he made it into a carved image and a molded image, which was placed in the house of Micah. Judges chapter 17, verse 6 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." God raised up judges to rule and deliver the people when he saw fit. And at other times to punish them for sin, he allowed them to be without God-appointed judges. Such was the case in the days of Micah. Without godly leadership, the people did what was right in their own eyes. A Levite happened to come by the house of Micah, and Micah said to him, "Where do you come from?" So he said to him, "I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I am on my way to find a place to stay." Micah said, "If you stay with me, I will give you lodging, clothes, and pay you." The Levite agreed to serve Micah. Judges chapter 18 begins with, "In those days there was no king in Israel." Well, why repeat this? The theft described in the following verses was a direct result of a lack of godly leadership. The tribe of Dan had been assigned a territory in the Promised Land, but they had not taken full possession of it because the Philistines and Amorites opposed them. Instead of doing what God had commanded and going to settle the land, the Danites looked for an easy way to gain their inheritance. They send out 5 men to spy out the land, and they come to the house of Micah. Judges chapter 18, verses 3 through 6. While they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here?" He said to them, "Thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." So they said to him, "Please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we are going will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way." In 1 Kings chapter 22, Ahab asked Jehoshaphat to join forces and battle Syria. Jehoshaphat said to Ahab, "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today." Then Ahab gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain?" So they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. These were false prophets, probably connected with the worship of the golden calves, who had not been present at Mount Carmel when Elijah slew the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth. Imagine, receiving false assurance from a false prophet. Such counsel was condemned by God. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Hosea chapter 4, verse 12. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. For the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. One commentator said, little did these men care whether the Levite in Micah's house was a true servant of God or not. They were like many in our day who think one religion is as good as another. They saw before them household gods, an ephod and a priest, and that was enough for them. One would think that if they cared for religion at all, they would have been anxious to have the right one. But no, the very men who were careful in their eating, their clothing, their medicine, will take their faith second-handed from others without examination. Well, that's pretty strong language. Who said that? The famous Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon. After spying out the land, they returned to the tribe of Dan and told them about the Levite they met. 600 soldiers return to Micah's house and steal his household gods and bribe his priests to go with them. Once Micah noticed that his religion had been stolen, he went running after them. The soldiers asked Micah, what are you upset about? You have taken away my gods which I made and the priest, and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, what ails you? And the children of Dan said to him, do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you and you lose your life with the lives of your household. After counting the soldiers, Micah said, you can have my religion. Sorry to bother you. Think about all the theft and burglary that is going on today. What if we returned home tonight and everything was gone? We would be upset. But what if we woke up the next morning and someone had burglarized our religion? Well, that's silly, preacher. Au contraire, the tribe of Dan stole Micah's religion. Micah is not the only one who has ever had his religion stolen. How many people's religion have been stolen by young men coming to the door with another gospel or a magazine which claims to have all the answers? How many televangelists have led faithful Christians away from the truth? How many once faithful members of the church have rejected the pattern principle and now attend the church of their choice? So here's the question. Is our religion burglar-proof? My friends, this is not a laughing matter. The answer to this question will determine whether we are saved or not. Let me suggest five things that will cause our religion to be stolen. First, Micah was in a foreign land, away from true religion. He neglected the one true and living God when he walked away from God's people. Here is a principle of life. Neglect always robs. If you neglect your friends, that friendship will fail. Neglect can affect the relationship between wives and husbands, children and parents, and members of the body of Christ. The same principle is true in matters religious. When a man or woman neglects to read their Bible, they will have their faith stolen. If you don't believe that, just stop studying the Bible. And when someone comes along with a new wind of doctrine, you won't be able to tell the difference between right and wrong. Number two, Micah's religion was homemade. Verse 24, "You have taken away my God, which I made." Who made him? Man. Homemade iced tea, homemade ice cream and apple pie are marvelous. Homemade gods and man-made religions is an abomination. Micah's gods were not of divine origin. They were made of silver. Isaiah describes the process of creating idols in Isaiah chapter 44, verses 13 through 19. "The craftsman stretches out his rule. He marks one with chalk. He fashions it with a plane. He marks it out with a compass and makes it like the figure of a man, according to the beauties of the man, that it may remain in his house. He cuts down cedar for himself and takes the cypress and the oak. He secures it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a pine, and the rain nourishes it. Then it shall be for a man to burn, for he will take some of it to warm himself. Yes, he kindles it and bakes bread. Indeed, he makes a god to worship it. He makes it a carved image and falls down to it. He burns half of it in the fire. With this half, he eats meat. He roasts a roast and is satisfied. He even warms himself and says, 'Ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire.' And the rest of it he makes into a god. His carved image, he falls down before it and worships it, prays to it and says, 'Deliver me, for you are my God.' They do not know nor understand, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so they cannot understand. And no one considers in his heart, nor is there knowledge nor understanding to say, 'I have burned half of it in the fire.'" These verses would be funny if they were not true. The very first commandment condemns false worship. "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that it is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them." Whenever we have a religion that is not of divine origin, then our religion is not burglar-proof. In fact, I would argue that it has already been stolen. A person who accepts a man-made theory over biblical teaching is apt to have their religion stolen. This is exactly what happened to Micah. We have examples throughout the Bible of man-made religions. God never once accepted the doctrines of men. Paul gives the conclusion of the matter in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, when he warns that if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you, let him be accursed. It is not wrong to listen to man-made religions, but we must compare them to the Bible. The person that does not study their Bible are placing themselves in a position to have their religion stolen. Many young people, by the time they leave home and start to think on their own, are taught a religion which is not their own. They look up to men with doctorates of divinity instead of reading the simple gospel truth for themselves. Instead of doing what God commands and studying to show ourselves approved unto God, they accept what others say. The first religion I accepted was the one that my mom and dad believed. Many believe religious men and women who write religious books. Can our parents or religious books be wrong? Oh, you bet. Therefore, it is incumbent on each person to study the Bible and verify everything that is said, taught, and done in Jesus' name. There came a day when I decided to find out the truth for myself. After studying book, chapter, and verse in context, I could not find biblical authority for the sinner's prayer, which I said. Today, I believe the Bible is inspired, not because of what my parents or some book said, but because I have weighed the evidence. I know that I know that I know this is God's Word. The only way that we can come to this type of knowledge is to pick the book up and study it. When a young person has done this type of study and come to the conclusion, then no one can steal their religion with false claims of evolution. In like manner, those who neglect prayer can have their religion stolen. If we ever lose sight of the fact that God will determine the outcome of all things for our good, instead of praying for strength, we will shake our fist at God and say, "Why me?" Forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of many, and not partaking of the Lord's Supper each first day of the week will cause our religion to be stolen. Whenever we neglect to apply biblical principles in our lives, we will have others do to us what the tribe of Dan did to Micah. And then again, Micah believed that God would bless his unauthorized worship. Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as a priest. Micah knew that he would be blessed because he had idols made of silver and a priest who had compromised the truth. With these two things, he had nothing to worry about. Everything was going to be fine. Prosperity is right around the corner. When we come to the conclusion that religion is a guarantee for prosperity, then we are placing a man-made theory over the Word of God, and our faith has been stolen. How many people today have been deceived by prosperity theology? These wolves in sheep's clothing say that faith, positive speech, and donations to Christian ministries will increase one's material wealth. And they just happen to have a ministry that needs your money. Health and wealth preaching is nothing new. Years ago, if you would wrap up a 20 in his prayer cloth, Reverend Ike would pray over it before spending it. How many people today invest $47 a year for a newsletter that unlocks a secret biblical money code? Look at the way Jesus lived upon the earth. Paul knew what it was like to be hungry and naked. What would have happened to Paul's religion if he believed that serving God guaranteed prosperity? Jesus guarantees prosperity when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Health and wealth preaching is a man-made religion, and those who take advantage of the poor will one day give an account for their sin. Number four, Micah's religion was one that was purchased. He paid for the molten image and the false prophet's servant. If religion is something that can be purchased, then it can go to the highest bidder, and that is exactly what happened to Micah. How often have we thought about paying a preacher to take away our personal responsibility to God? If we ever get the idea that we can put enough money in the collection plate to buy our way to heaven, our religion has been stolen and we are hopelessly lost. Fifth, Micah's religion was external and not internal. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. True religion is one of the heart, mind, and soul, based on the conviction that sin is wrong and truth is right. God-approved religion must have book, chapter, and verse for all that is said, done, and taught in Jesus' name. If real religion is on the inside, in our mind and heart, then no one can steal it. What happened when Paul and Silas were thrown in jail? Beaten, mistreated, and abused, and they had not harmed anyone. If their religion was external only, they would not have been praying and singing at midnight. Severe persecution could not rob them of their religion. Paul wrote the Philippian letter from a Roman prison cell. In it he said, "Rejoice," and again I say, rejoice. How can a man be in prison and find anything to rejoice about? Nero and the Roman authorities could not rob Paul of his religion or steal it from him. Whenever we have a conviction that we will follow God's word without veering to the right or left, then nothing is going to separate us from the love of Christ. Whatever people may do to us or say about us, we will fight the good fight of faith, because God's word is deep in our heart. When Satan attacks us and says, "God has not forgiven you of those past sins," we remember that once we came up out of the waters of baptism, God remembered those sins no more. And in Christ, when I repent, confess, and ask God to forgive present sins, we can be assured that he remembers those sins no more. Having our physical possessions stolen is one thing, but to wake up and have our religion stolen is simply unbearable. Our topic this morning is vital because we are losing over 50% of our young people in the church, which means people are stealing their religion. The only way to avoid this is to get out our Bibles and study and make sure our religion is based on the truth of God's Word. And then, in love and godly fear, reject everything that does not agree with it. We need to verify that our religion is not handed down or man-made, but our own. If someone opposes the truth of God's Word, can we take this book and defend it? If someone asks us the reason for the hope that is in us, can we point them to book, chapter, and verse and show them God's love and forgiveness? If we cannot do either of these, then we stand in danger of someone coming along and stealing our religion.